All right, 8:47, 13 till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Richard Abulafia, Managing Director of Aerodynamic Advisory and Expert in Military Aircraft. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Good to be on your show.
Thanks for taking the time with us. This whole thing with a new Air Force One from the country of Qatar, I'm trying to decide, you know, we have an interesting situation in the United States with who our friends are, who our enemies are. The president yesterday meeting with a guy that a year ago, who is now the head of Syria, who opposed Assad, who a year ago had a $10 million bounty on his head by the State Department. But when it comes to security concerns, take me from the get-go with this Air Force One deal, because I can understand as a taxpayer, you know, sure, if somebody's going to give you a plane, take it. But there are other concerns as well, I guess, as it relates to security. And when it comes to something like Air Force One, I don't know how you would ever be sure that the plane coming from somewhere else is secure unless you completely gut it. Am I making stuff up in my head or not?
You sound like a rational person to me. This is all very strange on many different levels, even the economic level, frankly, mm-hmm. because, yeah, the jet component of Air Force One, believe it or not, is just a tiny, tiny minority portion of the total price. So you could get a free 747. It wouldn't make a difference.
You're talking about the shell,
ultimately,
right? The shell and the basic plane. Yeah. Okay.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's billions of dollars to wire it up.
So when it comes to a 13-year-old plane, I don't know, how old is Air Force One now? Do you know the plane?
Yeah, it was built in the late 1980s, but it's not like these things fly at airline levels of utilization. Mm-hmm. So it's relatively low hours, despite the fact that it's 30-something years old.
So why? I don't understand the reason behind this. Do you, as an expert in military aircraft?
I don't get it, because there's an Air Force One replacement program underway, VC-25B, and Boeing has been managing and at times mismanaging it. But the good news is they signed a fixed price contract, which means all of the big cost overruns are borne by Boeing and its investors. So it's late. It's not going to arrive for another 2 years. But all of the money being spent, the billions of overruns, that's on Boeing. So if you add this to it, that's on the taxpayer. Which kind of annoys me as a taxpayer.
What is that annoys you, Richard?
Well, basically, you're taking this additional program on top of the one that Boeing is, you know, mm-hmm. paying for the last bit of, and you're saying, all right, we need to wire it up to basically do the same thing as the other program for some reason. It's going to cost billions of dollars, and the U.S. taxpayer has to pay that. Yes, the jet is free, as you say, just the shell, and that's great, but the wiring to make it capable of doing the Air Force One mission is billions of dollars that would just come straight out of the taxpayer.
All right, so we're building a new Air Force One, Boeing is, right? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
It's going to be ready by the time President Trump goes out of office in about 3.5-4 years, as I understand it?
There's going to be, they've offered to do kind of a, you know, not quite 100% spec, but can be spiraled in version by 27.
Okay, so in the meanwhile, we're going to take this plane from Qatar, a 13-year-old 747-8 from the royal family, and basically gut it and then refurbish it completely to Air Force One standards at an additional cost, and then I guess paint it up as well, right?
Yeah, and in terms of time, if it's by 2030, I think that would be working miracles. So it's billions of dollars of taxpayers' money and just this even worse time frame than the current Air Force One replacement program.
So the Air Force One replacement would be out before the redesigned plane from Qatar? Is that what you're telling me?
I guess that's the irony here, yeah.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because I'm not quite sure what the problem is with Air Force One now, because as you said, it's not like a Delta, that the plane that they're flying from Houston to New Orleans 18 times a day. So I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back. 8:51, 9 till 9. The whole thing has me scratching my head. I don't get it. And maybe Richard can tell me what I'm not getting, but apparently he's not getting it either. 8:51, 9 till 9. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. So it's 8:57, 3 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Richard Abulafia, Managing Director of Aerodynamic Advisory and Expert in Military Aircraft. Richard, talk about, if you will, and again, you know, they talk about strings being attached with Qatar, and I don't understand why people are for this other than the fact that President Trump wants it. It just seems to me that when it comes to Air Force One, which has to be, in essence, a flying Oval Office, the White House, that you would want control of the plane from the beginning to the end, or you would have to strip it down to nothing and start all over again. Tell me how Air Force One is different than other aircraft, please.
Yeah, you know, basically there's three areas of concern. One is, as you say, to have complete control of the production process. And if you don't, you can't take anything for granted. So you have to strip it down, start all over again. It's no longer a jet. It's now just a bunch of loose parts that have to be put back together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Second is it has to be wired for war. The ability to communicate with U.S. forces and authorities all over the globe, and foreign authorities too. Basically, the ultimate in encrypted communications, up to and including video, obviously, but all encrypted. And the ability to do that anywhere, no dead zones, as it were. And then finally, equipment to make it more survivable in the event of everything from an electromagnetic blast to just, you know, just the routine wear and tear and high levels of electric use if you're using all these complicated systems. That means everything from electronic warfare, missile warning receivers, additional generators, whatever else. So everything related to the plane's survivability, in essence. Those are the three areas of difference between that and a jet you might fly on.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate your time. I really do. We'll talk to you again, hopefully. Somebody texted in and said, this is misinformation that the plane just has to be retrofitted from Qatar. And I would ask you, really, honestly, you believe that? You would trust a plane from another country for Air Force One and not have to strip it down completely and start all over with a shell to control every element in the plane? That makes no sense to me.